This evening we continue the series titled The Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation. We'll begin with chapters 4 and 5 tonight, and we begin looking at the fourth chapter of Revelation. The focus shifts from the church to God the Father as John is suddenly transported in the Spirit from earth to heaven and is ushered into the throne room of God. So let us begin by reading the fourth chapter of Revelation. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you were created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Bible scholars, in reviewing this chapter, they believe that John's catching up to heaven, that it is symbolic or representative of the rapture of the church. You'll note in verse 1, as I read, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me and said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.'" Well, as the door opens in heaven, John is taken up to heaven from earth. That's exactly the description of what happens when the rapture takes place. The bride of Christ, the church, those that are saved and believe and put their hope and trust in Christ, will be taken from this earth into the door of heaven and will be in the incredible, wonderful place that God has prepared for us. In fact, in Revelation 19 and 11, the Bible says the door opens again, and through it comes Jesus on a white horse returning to earth. And behind him comes his bride, the church. That's in Revelation 19 and 14. Behind him comes the bride, the church. That's us, the bride. We've been in heaven during the tribulation. And now that it is ending and Christ is coming back to the earth to destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet, then there's a clear implication, if we read that scripture in Revelation 19 and 14, that the church absolutely will be in heaven with Jesus. We will not go through the tribulation. When you think about it, the meaning is clear, that the church, by the way, which was the focus in chapters 2 and 3, the church is not mentioned again until Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. But because the church is not in the world, when all the terrible events described through those chapters of the book of Revelation that focus on God's judgment, in those events, the church is not going through those judgment events. This fourth chapter shows us John seeing the throne room of God, a very rare and special event that few other people have enjoyed. The prophet Micah, who lived during the time of King Jehoshaphat, told the king on one occasion, I'm quoting from 1 Kings 22 and 19, "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, and on his right and on his left." So he's saying, Micah is saying, that he had this vision of seeing God sitting on his throne, the heavenly vision, very similar to what we've read that John had in recording in Revelation. Isaiah and Ezekiel both had similar experiences seeing the throne room of God. Daniel reported seeing God's throne in a night vision. And the Apostle Paul states that he was taken up to heaven where he, quote, heard impressible words, inexpressible words, I should say. So even Paul had that experience. What John saw, recorded in this chapter, were blazing lights emanating from the throne. And it describes a rainbow. And it says that the rainbow was circling the throne. It circled the entire throne. On earth, we only see half the rainbow. But in heaven, it's complete. It encircles the throne. And the rainbow testifies or is representative of God keeping his promises. Oh, praise God, he still keeps his promises to you and me today. We can count on them. We read the Word of God. We read the precious, incredible promises of God, and we can hold on to those promises and know that God keeps his Word and keeps his promises. We see that John then notices seven lamps of fire before the throne, which he says represent the sevenfold nature of the Holy Spirit. You may remember that in the third chapter, when we reviewed it, that there was also a reference to the seven spirits of God. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2 gives us the understanding and the answer to that question as to who or what are the seven spirits of God. Read it with me. Isaiah 11 verse 2. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord." In that scripture, we've just seen the seven spirits of God. The spirit of the Lord, number one. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, two and three. The spirit of counsel and might, four and five. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear, or the spirit of the fear of the Lord, 6 and 7. So when we see those words, the seven spirits of God, the Bible has told us already in the Old Testament what that represents and who those seven spirits are. The seven spirits represent the perfection of the Holy Spirit. They're representative of the Holy Spirit, and they represent the blessings and the character of the Holy Spirit in his perfection. Well, John also sees 24 elders sitting before the throne. And he describes them. He says they're clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their head. Well, these elders are dressed exactly like the redeemed in heaven, which are described in Revelation 19 and verse 8. In that particular scripture, it's speaking of those that will be attending the marriage feast of the Lamb. Listen to this description. "And to her it was granted," her being the church, the bride, "to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So we see that the elders in this vision that John sees in the throne room of God, they're dressed and clothed in white garments we see that the bride of Christ, the church, will be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, a similar description of the clothing of those in heaven. Some folks suggest that the 24 elders are representative. First of all, 12 of them are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, and the other 12 represent the 12 apostles, showing that both the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints are all in heaven worshiping God. John also sees four living creatures. You know, when you read that verse, it's kind of unsettling because of the description of them is so incredible. It says the living creatures full of eyes in front and behind, and each had a different face, a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle. It seems really strange as you read it, and what does it mean? What does it represent? Well, I believe these are probably the seraphim, which Isaiah saw in his vision recorded in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 2. I read those verses. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. You notice that in the vision that Isaiah references, he references seraphim, each with six wings. And the same description that John gave in his vision of those four living creatures, in that description he noted that each of them had six wings. These appear to be representative of God's creation, and their role appears to be both guardians and worship leaders. God's creation is seen in the form of the mighty lion, a gentle calf, the face of a man, the face of an eagle. It's representative of all the things that God has created. Well, next we see that in this beautiful vision of John, we see an example of heavenly worship. You know, when we're in heaven, we're going to be worshiping. We're going to be praising. We're going to be lifting up our hearts and spirits in worship of our Heavenly Father. We'll be there with Him. We'll see Him. Oh, what an incredible thing it's going to be. Well, everyone John sees around the throne of God, they appear to be caught up in worshiping the Heavenly Father. They're singing praises to God. And to consider the song that's recorded, a song we know today, it's recorded in verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the God is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is and who is to come. Notice the three attributes of God that are emphasized in that scripture and in the song: His holiness, His power, and His eternal nature. Well, the second song that John hears emphasizes the power of God. He is shown to be the creator of all things and is therefore declared to be worthy to receive glory and honor and power. That is recorded in chapter 4, verse 11. Excuse me. This emphasis on God's power that we see in Scripture is designed to encourage the church. It's designed to encourage the church that was caught up in suffering and persecution. It's designed to encourage you and me today that whatever we're facing, whatever trial, whatever season of life we're in, we're reminded of God's incredible power on our behalf to reach down and meet needs. It's intended to remind the church and remind us that God is still on His throne, that He still hears prayers, that He still answers prayers, and that He still performs miracles. Praise God for a church that believes in the power of God, the miracle-working power of God. I have to remind myself and all that are here tonight, God is in control, and He has the wisdom, and He has the power to orchestrate all the evil stuff that we see happening on this earth. He can orchestrate all the evil of man and Satan to the victory and the triumph of Jesus Oh, what a comforting thought. Well, we move on now to the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. We'll read that chapter beginning in verse 1 through verse 14. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or in the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. We can see that this fifth chapter now shifts back to Jesus. And he appears as the worthy Lamb in the midst of the glorious scene of worship which John described in chapter 4. He suddenly notices a little scroll in the right hand of God. And it's a scroll that is sealed with seven seals. Excuse me. And the scroll represents what I would call the title deed to the earth. The title deed to the earth. And we'll see that later in our study in chapter 10. John is so concerned because he understands that this title deed to the earth is important because the earth was created for man. God gave man dominion over the earth. But mankind lost dominion to Satan when Adam and Eve sinned against God. One of the reasons that Jesus died on the cross was to restore the earth to the children of God, to provide for mankind what God had originally intended for mankind, to have complete dominion over the earth. That's what Satan is trying to destroy even today. That's what Christ meant, by the way, in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "The gentle, the meek, shall inherit the earth." The earth is our inheritance. That's God's intention for us. He was quoting a promise that had been made in the Old Testament in Psalm 37. Jesus paid the price on the cross to redeem this promise. And it will be fulfilled when he returns to this earth. So we see that John's concerned that no one in heaven seems to be worthy to open the scroll. But he's suddenly told, there should be no concern, because there is one worthy. He is the Lion of Judah. That's the description that's given by the elders. He spoke to John. And John turns. What did he see? He saw a little bloody lamb. What he is seeing is the Christ who is both the Lamb and the Lion. He came first as a lamb to this earth to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And he's returning. Oh, when he returns, he is returning as the Lion of Judah to pour out the wrath of God upon those who have rejected the grace, love, mercy, and love of God. We see in this vision that as Jesus steps forth to take the scrolls out of heaven, take the scrolls, all of heaven breaks out in a mighty song, a new song. We'll read that word again. That song would be this. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You and I, the bride of Christ, the church, the redeemed, we will reign with Christ on this earth. What an incredible promise. Those that deny that future reign of Jesus, they try to argue that he's already reigning now through the saints, through the church, and they're wrong. Oh, we love the Lord and he's with us, but the reigning, how can anybody believe that Jesus is reigning in the world today? If he is, he's doing a pretty poor job. Because it would seem that all the nations of the world, they seem to all be in revolt against him. Yes, even our own nation. And so much of the church is caught up in apostasy. So no, Christ isn't reigning on the earth today, as some theologians proclaim. Isaiah reminds that Jesus reigns. The earth, when he reigns, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, no such condition like that exists today. The heavenly host singing this new song, they're singing about a time yet in the future that will happen when the redeemed will reign with Jesus upon this earth during the literal millennial reign of Christ, a thousand-year reign of Christ, and we'll be with him. This event is prophesied by Daniel in chapter 7, as he saw a vision in which the Son of Man was presented to God the Father and was given dominion over all the peoples, nations, and men of every language. Daniel then adds these words, the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. The title deed to the earth will be given to the saints, and Jesus will be there ruling and reigning over this earth. But God's perfect plan for man having dominion over this earth will finally be realized during that millennial reign, the 1,000 years with Jesus. In fact, later, as Daniel concludes chapter 7, he writes these words. Then after the destruction of the Antichrist, the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. In the last part of Revelation chapter 5, John sees thousands. In fact, the Bible says 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million. That's a massive, massive number of people in heaven. John sees it and he says that they're all saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, he is worthy. Oh, we worship him today, now, in our hearts and our spirits, because he is worthy. Because of his obedience to the Father, he gave his life for you and for me. Oh, praise God. How blessed we are. What a Savior we have. Well, John points out that every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea are saying these words, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, that's our Heavenly Father, and to the Lamb, his Son, Jesus, forever and forever. Paul wrote of this in Philippians 2 verses 9 through 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, we all say amen. Everyone, those that are the redeemed, those that have trusted Christ, those that have rejected him, those that have dismissed God completely, it says that every single individual, everyone, every knee will bow and everyone will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. He is our Lord today. He is our Savior today. We praise him and we worship him. What an incredible, wonderful vision that God gives us through the Word of God, the book of Revelation, through his servant John. He's given us this vision. He's given us these ideas and words to remind us of what waits for us. It's our hope. It's the incredible hope of the church. Well, praise God for these words tonight. So we finish these two chapters, chapters 4 and 5. Next week we go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 is the first of the series of punishments of the tribulation period. So come and be with us next Wednesday night. We'll also have it recorded and have it available for folks that can't be with us. We pray that God, by his Holy Spirit, will continue to bless and anoint as we read his word and give insight and understanding. And my prayer is that this has been a blessing to you. It's certainly been a blessing to me in my study and research and preparation. And I praise God for it. God bless you. Thank you so much.